From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm America's only 10-gallon anchorman, Bill Curtis. And here's your host at Jones Hall for the Performing Arts in Houston, Texas, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Houston. So good to be back here. Later on, we will be talking to astronaut Sunny Williams about her record-breaking stay in the International Space Station and what she did that was so bad they made her come back. But first, President Obama made history this week by becoming the first president to appear on a podcast. It was WTF with Marc Maron. This is true. It was a huge success, a million downloads or more. We assume the president will continue doing podcasts.
This is a global tailwind prepaid call from
Barack Obama.
Looking forward to that, season two. You don't have to call collect. It's toll free, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
This is Stacy.
Hey, Stacy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Miami Shores, Florida.
Miami Shores, Florida?
Yeah.
Is it as ungodly hot and humid as it is here in Houston?
Actually, I was just in Houston yesterday, and I can say no.
Really? What do you do in Miami?
I actually live in Chicago, but I'm a flight attendant.
You are?
I am.
Oh, that is interesting. I feel terrible for you. Because we, the passengers, are awful.
It happens.
Yeah. Do you hate us as much as I would hate us if I weren't us and were you instead?
I don't want to say yes.
Well, welcome to our show, Stacy. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's the author of the book, I'm Not a Terrorist, But I Play One on TV, and a comedian who'll be performing at the Hollywood Improv in L.A. on July 17th and 18th. It's Maz Jobrani.
Hey, Stacy, how are you?
Next, it's the comedian who'll be performing at the Blumenthal Performing Arts Center in Charlotte, North Carolina on July 11th, Paula Poundstone.
Hey, Stacy.
Finally, it's the comedian you can see at the Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank this weekend, Alonzo Bowden.
Hello, Stacy.
Welcome to the show, Stacy. You're going to play Who's Bill this time? Bill Curtis is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, of course, correctly identify or explain just two of them. Do that, and you will win our prize, the voice of our scorekeeper emeritus, Carl Castle, on your voicemail. Are you ready to do this?
I am ready.
All right. Here is your first quote. It comes from one of the leading jurists of our time, Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia.
Jiggery pokery, applesauce.
That was Justice Scalia. He was dissenting from a Supreme Court opinion that upheld the legality of what?
The health care.
The health care known as?
Obamacare.
Yes, we'll call it Obamacare. The Affordable Care Act. For about the 500th time since it was passed, Obamacare survived an attempt on its existence. People keep trying to kill it, and they fail, and then it starts to get boring and repetitive. Obamacare is the Jack Bauer of laws. This time, of course, it was a challenge in the Supreme Court that tried to take down the law based on just four confusing words. Justice Roberts, writing for the majority, basically said that was silly. But Justice Scalia dissented, or to use the legal term, he went ipso facto berserko. He called the opinion applesauce and jiggery pokery, and in earlier drafts he called it argobargle and flim flam flummery, and an unpronounceable word that was just 46 poop emojis in a row.
When you get to the jiggery pokery level, isn't it pretty much the law of the land? I mean,
yeah, if all you can say
about it. You kind of run out of arguments when you get to jiggery pokery. I would think.
Yeah.
Do the winners ever, like, once they've won, do they ever lean into the thing, you know, their mic and go, in your face?
Well, the best thing was that after the decision came out, once again, Obamacare survives and continues. President Obama, he came out and he made a speech. Well, he didn't really make a speech. He and Biden just smiled at the crowd, put on their shades, dropped the mic, and left.
Doesn't it really say something for our country, though, that Justice Roberts basically said, well, this is common sense.
Yeah.
And we were shocked.
Yeah.
We were literally shocked that
who
the
knew
Supreme
that he'd go
Court
there?
Said, and then all day, they spent the whole day analyzing it, that, wow, he went with common sense.
People have said this, that conservatives are so angry at Justice Roberts that some have suggested that Obama somehow bribed him. With what?
Just a little like, yeah, come here, come here for a second. I want to talk to you.
I'm going to talk to you.
Here's a little something for you.
Yeah.
Hey, Justice Roberts. Yeah. I know you always wanted to meet Beyonce. You know I can make that happen.
All right, Stacey. Your next quote is a headline from a somewhat confused overseas newspaper.
Is the American Civil War not yet over?
So that paper in Shanghai was asking why the U.S. is only now having a debate about what symbol?
The Confederate flag.
The Confederate flag, yes, you got it. The Confederate flag, battle flag of Northern Virginia, is coming down everywhere. South Carolina, next Mississippi, Virginia. It's even being removed, and I'm not kidding, from toy Dukes of Hazzard cars. They're peeling off the decals. It's kind of astounding how quickly after Charleston, the whole South just gave up. Then again, part of that Southern heritage they're proud of is surrendering. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I just remembered we're in the South.
Boy, you can read a crowd, Peter.
I sure can.
You know, I'll tell you, I find there were so many comments talking about it's the symbol of, they were the Confederate flag. They wanted to hold on to the Confederate flag because it was honoring their, ancestors. And that is so obviously not true, number one. But number two, why does no one fly the British flag? Because
yeah, they're our ancestors.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And they,
Well, not everybody's.
Well, they say, yeah. All right, Stacey, here is your last quote.
We don't ask you for free iPhones.
That was somebody who managed to bring Apple, one of the richest companies in the world, to its knees with just a letter. Who has this awesome power?
T-Swift.
Yo, she knows this. Yes, Taylor Swift. Very good. Apple wanted to use musicians' songs for their new streaming service without paying them, so Taylor was all like, hey, we don't ask you to give us iPhones for free. And first of all, Taylor, you don't? Because you should, because that's the point of being a celebrity, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure in all the gift baskets she's received, Taylor's gotten a few free iPhones.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a given.
It's amazing, though. Microsoft couldn't beat Apple. Google cannot beat Apple. Taylor Swift has done what the Zune could not. So the question really is, Taylor, since Taylor Swift was so easily able to change Apple's opinion about this, what other problems can Taylor Swift now fix for us?
Oh. So that Confederate flag thing's done.
Yeah, she took. For all we know, we were speculating why it happened so quickly.
Can she
maybe that had something to do with her. Maybe she sent a letter.
Can she get rid of Donald Trump?
Oh, don't. No, no.
No.
No, no.
No?
There is absolutely no joy in this upcoming election except for Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I heard Trump interviewed today. I did not understand a word he said. It was glorious. It was like listening to a song where you're just like, na, 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 na.
Bill, how did Stacey do on our quiz?
Stacey, I want you to go on the intercom, talk to your passengers, and say, I got three straight yes.
Yay!
I got three right.
Well done. So don't take any guff.
Free coffee for everyone.
Thank you, Stacey, for playing.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Paula, breakfast is about to get a lot more boring. Cereal maker General Mills announced this week they're going to do what?
I think it's a mistake. They're going to take the color out of Trix.
They are. They're going to remove all their artificial colors from cereal.
Yeah, I don't think that's right.
You know?
You don't? No, I don't. You know, I mean, if you're going to have Trix, let's just call a spade, you know what I mean? Just go for it. Have all the colors. And they're Reese's, right? They have a Reese's cereal.
They do. They have a Reese's peanut butter crunch cereal.
Yeah, and they're going to change the color of that, too, to pretend that it was somehow healthy.
Yeah.
I think once you're calling it Reese's peanut butter crunch cereal, you know, you've already put yourself in a particular category, and there's really no point.
With Paula's point, I mean, it's true. If you're that kind of parent that you're worried about that and you're going to some natural food store,
right,
and they, are you suddenly going to say, oh, Trix? Well, I didn't know. I mean, I just don't see that, you know, the Whole Foods crowd suddenly rushing to the General Mills aisle.
Saying, well, now that these are a dull and unattractive color, I shall feed them to my children.
They're organic Trix.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually trying to eat a little bit healthier. So now I'm not buying Captain Crunch. I just go by the aisle and thank him for his service.
We'd like to say a quick thank you to one of our sponsors, Stamps.com. Stamps.com helps businesses avoid time-consuming trips to the post office. With Stamps.com, you use your own computer and printer to print official U.S. postage for any letter or package, and then the mail carrier picks it up. No more wasting time going to that post office or wasting money on expensive postage meters. Right now, listeners of this very podcast can use the promo code WAIT, W-A-I-T, for a special offer, a no-risk trial plus a digital scale and free postage. So go over to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and type in W-A-I-T, WAIT. That's Stamps.com, and enter WAIT.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We are playing this week with Alonzo Bowden, Maz Jobrani, and Paula Poundstone. And here again is your host at the Jones Center in Houston, Peter Sagal.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi there, this is Brian Peach. I'm calling from Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Hershey, Pennsylvania. Famous for I can't remember. Do you work at the big chocolate company there in Hershey?
No, but I do, I think it's coincidentally, live on Cocoa Avenue.
Do you really? Are all the streets named for ingredients in chocolate?
Some of them are, and the streetlights are lined on top with giant Hershey's Kisses.
Wow. Well, welcome to our show, Brian. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Brian's topic?
Happy birthday, Ramygala.
This week, the town of Ramygala in Lithuania celebrated its 645th anniversary. But instead of parades and streamers, town officials organized a different kind of celebration for this big birthday. Our panelists are going to tell you about what they did. Only one of them, though, of course, is telling the truth. Guess that true story. You'll win Carl Castle's voice in your voicemail. You ready to do this?
I have never been readier.
Okay, let's hear the first story of the 641st birthday of Ramygala from Alonzo Bowden.
Ramygala, Lithuania is a town with a lot of rocks. There are more rocks than people. That's why every year the anniversary of Ramygala is celebrated with an uphill rock race. Groups of men form teams to push boulders weighing hundreds of pounds up a hill. The danger being if a man tires or trips or the team loses control, the rock may begin rolling downhill fast, which is really exciting for the people of Ramygala. The rock may not only hit the team pushing it, but may bounce around, crashing into other rocks, making loud noises and taking them out like a pool table. Teams train all year for Rock Day, and some have been competing for years. There have been some modern training methods added, but Olaf Kubjornsson, a team captain and two-time champ, scoffs at the cardio machines and other training tools. The only way to learn to push a rock is by pushing a rock, he laughed. At the end of the race, a new champion is crowned. The teams all roll their boulders back down the hill, crashing into other rocks in the ancient way, and a feast is had by all. A feast of rock soup.
They're pushing rocks uphill, Sisyphus-like, in Ramagala to celebrate the birthday. Your next story of anniversaries celebrated Lithuanian style comes from Paula Poundstone.
On the occasion of an important anniversary, people reflect on their past. Some couples renew their vows or climb a mountain or jump out of a plane. To celebrate their 645th year anniversary, the Lithuanian village of Ramaglia had a goat beauty contest. Although it is difficult to get a goat into a bathing suit, the people of Ramagala feel it is well worth the effort. Contest organizer Loretta Kobolavini says the event is called the Goat Parade, and that after they select the most beautiful goat, the goat will then be crowned. Many Ramagalians own goats. They are a symbol of the country, so some people feel the beauty contest is openly goatist and would like to see the judging go beyond the beard and cloven foot to include more of the goat's depth, like asking them where in the field they like to sit or how many times a day they like to eat and whether or not they would like world peace. Goat Marseille was this year's proud winner, and he looks forward to eating the ribbon at as many grocery store openings as he can during his reign.
A goat beauty contest to celebrate the anniversary. Your last story of a gala in Ramagala comes from Maz Jobrani.
The Lithuanian village of Ramagala was looking for a fun way to celebrate turning 645 years old. That's when the organizing committee, which consisted of 12 parents of young children, suggested setting up a giant bouncy castle for all the villagers to bounce on 645 times each. The only problem was that all the bouncies near the village had already been rented out. So in an effort to build their own bouncy, the committee stormed the oldest castle in the village and laid out mattresses in every room, giving all the citizens of Ramagala the chance to bounce till they dropped. And drop they did. While the younger Ramagalians were able to bounce till sundown, the older ones had some problems. 84-year-old Aldona Agostos stated, "I had no business jumping up and down on stupid mattress. Mattress is for sleeping on, not for jumping on. Give me a Vicodin." However, the organizers stood by their decision, pointing out how well the kids of the village slept that night. Bronislaves Bronius, who headed up the committee, whispered, "My children are still sleeping from two nights ago. We should celebrate like this more often. I think maybe tonight I finally have time to make love to my wife."
All right. Now then, this much we know. There is a town called Ramagala. It's in Lithuania. It's 645 years old. But to celebrate their anniversary, they did which of these? Was it from Alonzo Bowden, they pushed rocks uphill in the standard manner of their ancestors? From Paula Poundstone, did they hold a glamorous goat beauty contest? Or from Maz Jobrani, did they set up a bouncy castle with mattresses in a castle which kind of exhausted everybody? Sometimes to good effect. Which of these is the real story?
It's a little-known fact that Hershey's chocolate is made out of goat milk. So I am going to go with the goat beauty pageant.
You're going to go with the goat beauty pageant and slander Hershey, the nation, your region's largest employer, along the way. That's fine. You do that. You're going to choose Paula's story of the goat beauty contest. Well, we actually, to bring you the correct answer, spoke to someone involved in the true story. That was the sound of some very glamorous goats. We don't know whether or not those were the goats that won the glamorous goat competition in Ramagala, but they sounded beautiful. So congratulations, you got it right. Paula was telling the truth. You have won our prize and a point for Paula. That means that Carl Castle will record the greeting on your voicemail. Well done, sir. Thank you for playing with us today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And now the game where we invite on really impressive people who've done interesting things so they can try to do something else. Sunita Williams, known as Sunny around the Johnson Space Center here in Houston, has been on the International Space Station for so much time she can float around with her eyes closed. She set records for time spent in space and still holds it for the longest spacewalk. We are glad she's back on Earth and can join us here. Sunny Williams, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
So, I happen to know that you grew up in the nice suburb of Boston of Needham,
yep,
which produces more than its share of doctors and lawyers and accountants and consultants. And how did you get from Needham to low Earth orbit?
So I wanted to be a veterinarian, and actually...
Whoa, you screwed that up.
sort of went the wrong turn, and actually didn't get into the universities that I wanted to do that, and ended up under the influence or guidance of my older brother to go to the Naval Academy.
Wait a minute. You went to the U.S. Naval Academy as like a backup school?
Well, my brother said they liked to camp, and we camped when we were kids, and so he said, I'd like it. And I did.
Really?
Yeah.
You went to the U.S. Naval Academy because you like to go camping.
Yeah.
You know they're generally on boats, the Navy.
Yeah, I missed that point.
Really?
Okay. So I finished there and was trying to figure out what to do. At the end of that, we get to pick by our class standing, and I was not the top, not the end, somewhere in the middle. And I wanted to be a diver because I was a swimmer. I didn't get that billet, but at the same time, Top Gun came out, so I thought I would be Tom Cruise and go fly airplanes. So that was my goal.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
So we owe it to Tom Cruise that you're here with us?
Yeah.
I never thought about it that way, but I guess so.
Well, hey, Tom.
Then, yeah.
So seriously, did you like, okay, you know, send me to Miramar. I want to be a fighter pilot. Is
yeah,
that what you did?
Yeah.
And what happened?
Well, I didn't get to do that.
Oh.
I flew helicopters, which actually is the second best view of the Earth. The first best view is,
right.
I think,
so
a
now
bit
you're
higher.
Now you're like, you're a helicopter pilot, mm-hmm, flying combat helicopters, right, off of aircraft carriers, thinking, I wonder if it's too late for veterinary school, but hey.
I was sort of curious about how helicopters work, because it was sort of a mystery to me. You know, you stick the key in or whatever, you raise a collective in the cyclic, and you start to fly, and I'm like,
sure.
How the heck does this thing work? So I wanted to learn how to figure that out, so I went to test pilot school. And that's the first time I actually came down here to Johnson Space Center and met real astronauts and learned what they did and thought that would be pretty cool, too. Almost cooler than Tom Cruise. So what the heck?
This sounds very accidental.
That's life, yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of people are like, well, I did this and I did that, and I ended up in a trailer with three kids. You ended up on the International Space Station, which you have been to how many times?
Two times.
Wow. Only twice?
Only twice.
What? Okay.
But for long times each time.
But so you still hold the record, I'm told, for the longest spacewalk.
Yeah, well, the number of them.
Most number of spacewalks.
For women.
For women.
As my husband would say, not bad for a girl.
Not bad for a girl.
Yeah.
And did you have to do so many because you kept forgetting things outside?
I hope not.
No. It's like, oh, I left my keys outside. I gotta.
Did you ever get to do any experiments involving an animal and finally say, I got this veterinary thing done?
Well, as a matter of fact, we had spiders, Egyptian jumping spiders up there.
That sounds like a horror movie. Yeah.
They were scary, actually. They've got 8 eyes on their heads, and they do everything by sight, so as soon as you like look at their little container, they look up at you like this.
Oh.
It's a little nerve-wracking.
So
what were they there for?
Yeah.
Actually, it was an experiment suggested by a kid who lives in Egypt, and he knew about these types of spiders, and he wanted to see if they would adapt. Because they're like Spider-Man. When they see their prey, they jump at it, and they sort of let their little string down and grab the thing and eat it. And so in space, you can't really jump.
What Spider-Man does. But I'm sorry. But anyway, you're saying, so the spider can normally, when it's in Egypt, say, jump on things and eat them. And the question was what they would do in space, in microgravity. And so what did the spiders do?
Well, they figured it out, but it took a little while. Initially, they were a little bit frustrated, and they were running around.
I'm just imagining these spiders going, ah!
So what were they frustrated by? Their web didn't go where they wanted it to because of the lack of gravity?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. So they were trying to jump, but if you jump in space, you're just going to jump up.
Even if I were a spider, I'd be like, wow!
Exactly.
Does it ever get either claustrophobic or boring spending that much time in a big tube? Like
absolutely
that?
Not. There's just so many cool things to do. We're busy. When I was up on my first flight, we were really putting it together, so I was essentially a construction worker. On the second flight, we were doing a lot of science experiments, and we've got a really cool window called the cupola. It's a big circular window with six panes around, sort of at an angle, so you can see the Earth, you can see the edge of the Earth, you can go out, look out into the universe. It's pretty spectacular.
So you spent a lot of time out there.
In the window? In the window? Yeah, yeah.
Do you think they might need a comic?
Absolutely.
Oh. man, that would be the greatest. Now, I don't even want to come back. You can just let me go.
What do you do for entertainment?
So we try to keep it a normal day while we're up in space. You know, you don't want to change your time cycle too much. So we just keep it normal. And so about 5 or 6 o'clock at night after we finish working, we knock it off by having pre-recorded shows that we watch sometimes through the computer while we're eating dinner. And then a lot of people...
While you're eating dinner, you watch shows? Oh, that's not right. You know, family time at the table.
It's not good.
They say that's the number one thing to keep kids off drugs. How can you keep it? Like, your first night in space, how could you even sleep? What do you mean keep it normal?
They're not going to take you if you're going to be like this.
Paula, you need to calm down. Paula, you need to be saying, that sounds great. Wow, I really have no problems with you at all.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, let's watch TV over dinner and go to bed early. What do you say?
Yeah.
There you go. No, it's not like we're going out anywhere.
Well, Sonny, we have invited you here to play a game we're calling...
First Month is Free.
You have spent a lot of time in outer space. So we thought we'd ask you 3 questions about storage space. Answer 2 of these 3 questions about the wonderful, fascinating world of rental storage units, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice. Bill, who is Sonny playing for?
Wilson Chang of Houston, Texas.
There you go. He's out there somewhere. Here's your first question. As you probably know, people often bid for the contents of abandoned storage units, sight unseen. Well, one unit bought at auction near here in Houston turned out to contain what? A NASA space rocket, B, 20 years worth of ZZ Top's beard trimmings, or C, 4,000 never-used Houston Oilers Super Bowl champion T-shirts.
Ouch.
Never used.
Wow. Wow. C?
C, you're going to go for C, the Houston Oilers Super Bowl champion T-shirts?
Yes, C.
You are a hopeful crowd. No, it was actually the NASA space rocket.
Get out of here.
They opened
what are
it
we
up
doing?
And they found a Delta relay rocket from the 60s that had just been put in there and forgotten about.
Oh, God.
All right. We really don't.
All right.
You guys don't keep track of those?
All right.
Wow.
Next question. You have 2 more chances here. Don't worry about it.
Help me out, guys.
Okay. Next question, during an episode of the show Storage Hunters, the show's hosts opened up a storage locker to find that the previous owner had left what behind? A, comedian Dennis Miller. B, another storage locker containing another even smaller storage locker. Or C, a swarm of angry bees that the previous owner had put there for safekeeping.
You think so?
They're either buzzing or they're applauding in a very strange regional way.
See.
So you're going to go for the bees. See. Yes, it was a bees. We don't know why. Yeah. We don't know why the prior owner had decided to put a beehive in there, but the bees really didn't appreciate it based on their attitude when the door was opened. All right. Last one. A man in North Carolina is being sued by the previous owner of a storage locker he purchased at auction. The previous owner says he may have given up the storage locker, but he wants his what back? A, his groove. B, his baby back. Or C, his leg.
Going for C again.
Yes, it was his leg. Man named John Wood was keeping his amputated leg in a barbecue smoker, as one does, so he could be buried with it someday. But the new owner realized the potential of having a human leg in a barbecue smoker and started charging adults $3 and children just $1 to look at it and didn't want to give the leg back. Bill, how did Sonny do on our quiz?
Sonny, proving why she's called Sonny, she's a winner! 2 out of 3!
Yes! Sonny Williams is a pilot and astronaut who has spent a total of 322 days in orbit on the International Space Station. And one of the people who's paving the way for NASA's journey to Mars and beyond. Sonny Williams, thank you so much for being on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. This
This episode is made possible by Talenti. Now, you may know this, but in about 5 billion years, the sun is going to burn out. It will explode into a supernova, destroying the little bit of ash that is left of the Earth. So with that perspective, why not enjoy what you're eating? For example, Talenti Gelato and Sorbetto. That's the clear one with the twist-off lid. They've got new dense flavors like oatmeal raisin cookie, salted peanut caramel, and coffee toffee, all of which you should enjoy now before the heat death of the universe. To find Talenti at a store near you, go to talentigelato.com. That's Talenti with an I, gelato.com. And don't skip dessert because of entropy.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Paula Poundstone, Alonzo Bowden, and Maz Jobrani. And here again is your host at the Jones Center in Houston, Texas, Peter Sagal.
Thanks, Bill. In just a minute, Bill pays tribute to his favorite basketball player, Raimkeem Ramlajewan. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Paul, a great day for the sport of bowling this week when it was announced that the sport of bowling might be what?
Going in the Olympics?
Yes! It'll be an Olympic sport. Maybe. Maybe. This is the biggest thing for bowling, or as it will be called, summer curling, since the invention of nighttime cosmic bowling, which please let them use in the Olympics. Bowling is in the shortlist to be included in the 2020 Tokyo Olympic program, meaning that the nation of Wisconsin may finally get its first Olympic medal. Bowlers will become Olympic athletes, celebrities. They won't be in a Wheaties box. You might get them on a can of Hormel chili or perhaps Vienna sausages.
No, this is going to be big for the world of vending machines.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
They should do like a winter sport, like downhill bowling.
Well, why bowling, you may ask, feigning interest in this story? Well, after recent cheating scandals, the International Olympic Committee has been looking for a sport with a ball that cannot be deflated.
Isn't it going to be great to watch the bowlers walk past the training facility and be like, hey, what are they doing in there?
Oh, yeah. Maz, people often say the British royal family, even though they seem to be useless, they do contribute to the UK economy by bringing a lot of tourism. But a recent study says one group actually contributes more to the British economy than the whole royal family. What is this group?
More than the a group, is it the soldiers with the fluffy hats?
Now, that would be part of the royal family because they're in front of the royal palaces. I'll give you a hint. You could say the halls of Buckingham Palace were buzzing about this news.
Bees?
Yes, bees. Despite being completely irrelevant, the British royals have managed to stick around for generations because they bring in tourism income, largely in the sale of the special fried dough treats called Prince Charles ears. But it turns out bees actually contribute more to the British economy than the royals. They're crucial to the pollination of crops, they make honey, and they produce most of the country's wax, although Prince Philip does come in a close second.
Is England known to have a lot of bees?
Well, yes, you're British beekeepers, of course. Well, they have bees.
What do you mean, of course?
You said, of course, like people know that.
Yeah. Yes, British bees.
Everyone's born in the world talking about the British beekeeper.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Do they buzz with an English accent?
Yeah.
Now, you said British bees. Where do they stand versus killer bees?
Much more polite.
Yeah. I think it's...
What country has the most bees, Mr. Expert on Bees?
I don't know, but I'm going to ask Bill Curtis to say something because whatever he says, it will sound right. Bill Curtis, what country has the most bees?
Russia.
There you go.
And
Italy. Oh, yes.
Those are killer bees.
Yeah.
From different countries. It's amazing.
Brilliant.
The Italian bees go buzz, 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 buzz.
Yeah, it's true. Alonzo, we got cigarettes. We got trans fats. They all might kill you, but now a doctor in Australia is warning that you're putting yourself and others in danger if you do what?
Wow. You can't open wasabi on a space station.
We know that.
Anything, any hints?
Well, hipsters will be dropping like flies.
Uh-oh, skinny jeans.
Yes, skinny jeans.
Yeah, yeah.
Do not wear skinny jeans. They could kill you. A woman in Australia had to have her skinny jeans cut from her body this week after she passed out trying to do something strenuous, which wearing skinny jeans could include breathing or circulating blood.
She had the jeans so tight she couldn't breathe?
What happened was, apparently, she was like crouching and trying to pick up something, and the jeans were so tight they cut off all her circulation, and she fainted and fell over and had to go to the doctor. And here's the problem. The doctor then told the world what happened to doctor-patient confidentiality. The one time you need it is when your pants are so small for you they threaten your life. So this is a test to see if
your dangerously
pants are
tight.
If you cannot get a credit card into your pocket, your jeans are too tight. If your moil recognizes you walking down the street, your pants are too tight.
All right, I hate to say it, but what's a moil?
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link on our website. That's waitwait.npr.org. You can find out about attending our weekly live shows at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming shows at the Mann Center in Philadelphia and our upcoming show in Louisville, Kentucky on September 3rd. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi. I'm Colleen Taylor from the People's Republic of Berkeley.
Hey, how are things in that readout of liberalism? Excuse me, communism. I don't want to insult you. What do you do there?
Well, I'm a professor at St. Mary's College of California.
Oh, and what do you teach?
I teach about adult learning and the brain.
Really?
Oh, I love that.
Every now and then you hear about like exercises you can do for your brain to make yourself smarter. Do any of those work?
That's not what I teach about. What I'm mostly interested in is how we can become more effective, developed people.
Oh, I see. I'm more interested in just binge-watching Netflix, so never mind. Kathleen, welcome to the show. Bill Curtis is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the big limericks, you will be a winner. Ready to play?
Yes.
Here's your first limerick.
How did I become a rich gringo? I poured plastic in molds. And then bingo, the birds who'd caught on and graced every lawn. I made the pink plastic
flamingo.
Yes. This week, America lost one of its great innovators, Donald Featherstone, the man who created the pink plastic lawn flamingo. Featherstone died at 79, but he designed the flamingo back in the 50s when his first idea, an actual flamingo you tied to your grass, failed. And he was famous. We actually have mentioned him in the show before because in addition to inventing the plastic pink flamingo, he and his wife dressed exactly alike every day for 50 years.
Wow.
True story.
Was that her idea? No, because you get to a certain age, and I see this, she did that so she won't lose him. Like... when he wanders off, people say, oh, you're with her, and
they
give him back.
Like they're on a tour.
Yeah.
Here is your next limerick.
At morning, my brain seems too flaccid, too rested, unfocused, too placid. I prefer LSD to coffee or tea. My mind gets more focused with...
Yes.
Yes, it is. That's for you, Kathleen.
You know this. We've always been told the best way to start the day is with a complete and balanced breakfast. Now scientists say skip that. Instead, take LSD first thing in the morning. Apparently, small doses of acid increase productivity and give you a burst of energy that lasts throughout the day into the evening, at which point you flip out because of all the pterodactyls. Don't know about that. We're going to stick to our usual morning pick-me-up, coffee and meth.
You know what's really bad?
What?
You do a little morning acid, and there's no color in your tricks. Yes.
All right, here is your final limerick.
We can't catch each outgoing detail. In the heated exchange is where we fail. Now Gmail's my friend, because I can unsend and take back an impolite.
Take it back with email.
It's email, yes.
Yes.
Very good. Google is introducing a new feature called Undo Send. It gives users time to realize they actually just sent a crotch shot to their whole contact list rather than the few select colleagues they meant to sexually harass. We've all sent a drunken email we wish we could pull back. And while this is great, what we really need are breathalyzers on our computers. We have to unlock them.
You think Anthony Weiner's sitting home saying, yeah, now?
Now? Bill, how did Kathleen do in our quiz?
She is Berkeley proud, 3 in a row.
Well done, yay. Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you so much for playing. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Lonzo has 2, Muzz has 2, and Paula has 4.
Oh, okay.
How about that, Miss Paula?
We flipped a coin. Muzz has chosen to go first. The clock will start when I begin your first question, fill in the blank. On Wednesday, the Senate approved President Obama's fast-tracked blank bill.
It's a trade bill.
It is. A state of emergency was announced in Pakistan on Tuesday as a deadly blank continued to plague that country.
Heat wave.
Right. This week, a pizza delivery boy in Colorado who saved a customer's life by performing CPR said the experience blanked him.
The experience excited him.
No, he said that saving the man's life turned him from a pizza boy into a pizza man. Last Saturday, the Washington Nationals' Max Scherzer became the second pitcher in that team's history to blank.
Pitch a shutout.
No, a no-hitter this week. Even fans of Fox News thought the network went too far when one of its hosts blanked.
Boy. On Fox News, when one of its hosts said something good about Obama.
No. He threw an axe at an army drummer from West Point. All right, no one likes a drum solo. Fine. But Fox Weekend anchor Pete Hegseth needs to chill. He was doing a segment on lumberjack sports when he attempted to throw an axe at a wooden target and managed to overshoot both the target and a fence and hit the drummer. The double-headed axe only caused a couple of cuts, and the drummer was awarded a purple cowbell. Bill, how did Muzz do in our quiz?
Muzz got 3 right for 6 more points. He now has a total of 8 and the lead.
All right. Alonzo, you're up next. Here we go. Fill in the blank. On Friday, President Obama delivered the eulogy for Reverend Clementa Pinckney, the senior pastor of Mother Emanuel AME Church in blank.
Charleston, South Carolina.
A new report from the UN says that Israel and Palestine may both have committed war crimes during a confrontation in the blank last summer.
Gaza.
Yes. This week, cab drivers throughout Paris rioted when it was announced that blank would be expanding their service there.
Uber.
Yes. On Sunday, golfer Jordan Spieth became the youngest person since 1923 to win the blank.
U.S. Open.
Yes. TV analysts reported that by 2016, blank's average viewing audience will surpass that of major TV networks.
Netflix.
Yes. 2 Canadian police helicopter pilots who were talking about sex in the cabin have apologized after blanking.
Broadcasting?
Yes. Through the helicopter's loudspeaker. The 2 Canadian pilots who could be heard throughout the city talking about their sex lives formally apologized for realizing that their helicopter's megaphone was on the whole time. Some citizens say the apology isn't enough and are calling for further discipline. Others say they found the conversation educational. Who knew there were so many alternative uses for maple syrup? Bill, how did Alonzo do?
He got 6 right, now has a total of 14 and the lead.
All right. So how many then, and you know I was going to ask this, how many then does Paula Poundstone need to win this?
5 to tie, 6 if she wants to win.
All right.
I do.
All right, here we go. This is for the win. On Thursday, ISIS militants launched attacks on 2 cities in blank.
Iraq?
No, Syria. Uh-oh. On Wednesday, sorry, a second guard was arrested in connection with the escape of 2 convicts from a maximum security prison in blank.
New York?
Yes. In the latest 2016 GOP poll, blank placed second with 11% of the votes.
Donald Patriot Trump.
Yes. A cafe in New York specializing in blank donuts went bankrupt this week, less than a year after opening.
Healthy.
Yes, low-calorie donuts. For the fourth time in a month, a swimmer in North Carolina was the victim of a blank attack.
Shark.
Yes, best known for writing the scores for Titanic, Aliens, and Braveheart. Academy Award-winning composer blank died at the age of 61.
I can't remember his name.
No, his name is James Horner.
Of course,
A
James
rock
Horner.
Club in D.C. fined for violating a local noise ordinance says it had to open a window while a band was playing because blank.
They were trying to sneak out the back.
No, because the band's drummer kept farting. You can't open the windows. If your music is playing and bothers the neighbors, they were fined $500 for doing it. But the venue explained that the band had a drummer who would not stop farting. The owner says he's willing to pay the fine, admitting that the whole ordeal was probably his fault for booking a band in the first place called Tootie and the Blowfarts. Mr. Curtis, how well did Paula do? Did she do well enough to win?
Well, she got 4 right, 8 more points, 12 for a total.
Oh, no.
That means Alonzo won.
Thank you. Oh.
You did it, man.
So nobody likes going to the store shopping for mattresses. You're in there, you're dealing with salesmen, you feel awkward lying on the mattress for 30 seconds to see if you want to keep it. It's terrible. Here's a better way. It's from one of our sponsors, Casper. They're an online retailer for mattresses. Casper mattresses are American-made. They're obsessively engineered for comfort. Really, these guys are like nerds about it. They use two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, to give you just the right amount of sink and bounce. Technical terms, people. And they have a risk-free trial. You can try out your Casper mattress for 100 days. And you get free delivery and returns if on day 99 you don't like it. It's outrageous comfort at a polite price. So go to casper.com/waitwait to check out their options. And they have a special offer for listeners to this podcast. Use the promo code waitwait to redeem $50 toward a Casper mattress of your choice. Thanks.
Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, Mr. Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is Jesse Butendesnear. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to the crew at the Jones Center for the Performing Arts in Houston. B.J. Lodeman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walshover and Miles Dernboss. Our technical director is Lorna White. Our CFO is Andy Ann. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillag. And the executive producer of Wait, Don't Tell Me is Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will angry Antonin Scalia say next? Alonzo Bowden.
Hashtag whatever.
Maestro Brani.
In his next angry dissent, Justice Antonin Scalia will say, oh, no, you didn't.
And Paula Poundstone.
He'll say, suffering succotash, racking, schnacking, and then just...
And if Justice Scalia says any of those things, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Alonzo Bowden, Miles Giobrani, and Paula Poundstone. Thanks to everyone at Houston Public Media and our fabulous audience here at the Jones Center in Houston, Texas. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal, and we will see you next week. This is NPR.